All right, it's time for our Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Skilling joins us here every Tuesday afternoon, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Hey, Tom, welcome back.
Anna, thank you. It's good to be back and good to hear your voice again. What a beautiful day you got going, Anna, huh?
Perfect. Sure is.
The sky parade, and so that's great.
It is great. And I know Bill Snyder popped on with us when you were gone last week, and he said, wow, this is shaping up to be quite an unusual October. Sounds like that is continuing to be the trend.
Oh, it's stunning. It's something we watched the entire autumn season. You know, it's interesting, Anna. On this date a year ago, the high temperature was 50. Today, we'll be up in the mid-70s. So what a difference that is. But do you know, this year is running 9 degrees warmer than last October up to this point. Last year at this time, October was running just 1.4 degrees above normal. This year, we're close to 9 above normal. October running 9 degrees warmer than it did up to this point a year ago. And I was looking at the snow. You know, snow has come to the Central Rockies finally. They had 10 inches of snow in the mountains around Salt Lake City overnight and 4 to 8 inches in the Park City area out there. And it turns out that we've got about only one third the area that's covered by snow that we had at this time a year ago. So this is a pretty much a national phenomenon that we've got going in terms of this warm weather. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and it feels great. Is Lake Michigan temperature affected as well?
Yeah. Lake Michigan, if you look at the whole lake, and the NOAA Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab offers the satellite analyses of the average temperature of all the Great Lakes. The average temperature for Lake Michigan is 62.7 degrees. Last year, it was only 55, a little over 55 degrees, so we're 7 degrees warmer. And here's another stat that's interesting. Yet another 70-degree day today. Mm-hmm. Last year, we'd only had 7 70-degree temperatures up to this point in October. This year, today will mark the 13th 70-degree day. So we've had twice the number of 70-degree October days around here. And while there is a downturn coming later in the week, it'll only take us down to slightly below average instead of way above average, which has been the trend so far this autumn. So it's been a beautiful autumn. And I've had people writing saying, the colors that seem to be late this year in parts of the area, the fall colors. And, you know, that's no doubt partly the product of how warm it's been. I'm sure the dry weather hasn't helped any either, but we've had a little bit of moisture at least. So quite interesting. It's been a beautiful autumn around here.
Gosh, hasn't it been? It really, I mean, just perfect for being outdoors and doing all the things people love to do. All of us love to do in the autumn, at fall time, with the colors changing and the pumpkin patches and all the things, events at different farms that, you know, you can go apple pick. I mean, there's so much to do. It's amazing. I did notice on your Facebook page, Tom, that you've got so many gorgeous pictures that people have sent you about fall colors and the other beautiful autumnal scenes across the area. I got to tell you, these pictures that people submit to you, you could frame them, you could sell them, you could put them together in a calendar and raise some money for charity or something, because they're just absolutely stunning. Really.
You know, that's been suggested to me. You know, when people send them in, we would never profit from this in any way, shape, or form. But that would be a heck of an idea, wouldn't it, to say to folks, hey, would you mind if we put something together for charity? That's been suggested to me before. Anna, these pictures that come in, I'll tell you, social media, for all of its ills, does some marvelous stuff, too. And that is, it allows us, for instance, after storms, to probably get readings on how bad things have been much sooner than we would have otherwise, because we start getting pictures right away after a storm has gone through and done damage. But I'll tell you, in these beautiful autumns, like this one, we get these stunning pictures, and they come from all over. Folks are sending me pictures from every corner of the country. I even got this beautiful shot from Hungary yesterday over Europe. And it was a beautiful shot of a distant rain shaft. You could see a rainbow coming out of this thunderhead, and you saw this rain pouring down. And then in the foreground, you had these beautiful fall colors. It was really stunning. Another fella sent me a picture looking out the back of a cruise ship. And he said, I'm somewhere between Fort Lauderdale and St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. And I thought, well, that's nailing it down. I don't know how many thousand miles you got between those two. But I don't care where it was taken. It was gorgeous. And I just marvel at the pictures people send. And not all these folks are, the professional photographers. We love it. We get the photos from professional photographers, but just our viewers as well, who snap something they see on the way to work. And it's really fun to go through this. It brightens our day.
I bet. Did you take any pictures yourself? You were just on vacation. Bill Snyder mentioned you went to Hawaii, Tom. Had to be fun.
Well, that came up all of a sudden. I went over there with the intention of seeing Kilauea, which is erupting again. It's a little different. I was there when the lava was flowing 3 years ago, and I'm telling you, Anna, that was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The water, this 2,000-degree lava was flowing into the Pacific Ocean, and to watch it hit the water was stunning. And we were out there at the time. I went out on this ship or this boat, and we were bobbing around in 12-foot waves with the waves breaking over the side. And we're watching this 2,000-degree lava only yards away, a couple hundred yards away. All I can think is I hope the motor on this thing keeps running, because if not, we're going to land in this 2,000-degree lava. But it was worth it. And everybody got sick on the thing because of bobbing around, but you didn't care. You just wanted to see it. Now, this year, the eruption's down in the volcano, so you don't see it as clearly, and the weather hasn't been cooperating all the time. But I'll tell you, I was on the side of the island. I was on the big island, and it was so beautiful. And it's interesting to see how they're dealing with COVID out there. And actually, they're doing quite well. Their cases are in decline, too. But I gather they've had a problem in the number of vaccinations, particularly among the native Hawaiian community. And so there have been some issues there. But everybody's good about wearing masks. And things are proceeding. You wouldn't know, really, that things were bad if you weren't following the press coverage, because things seem pretty normal.
Good to hear. I know Bill said that he is having his influence on you. Bill Snyder there, your weather colleague, because you used to go to Alaska so much. And he says, I'm trying to let him know the warm weather climates, that's where it's at. And he thinks he's convinced you, Tom. That's what he thinks.
Well, I'll tell you something. It makes an interesting contrast. Go to Alaska, one trip and see what's going on in the Arctic latitudes. And, with climate change going, it's interesting to see all the changes up there. And then you go down to Hawaii, and, it's a whole different extreme. You can't help but swim in that ocean, and you think, gosh, it's warm enough, you can swim in it here. This is the same body of water, it occurs to you, that is freezing and has, ice chunks floating in it, only a couple thousand miles north.
Right.
We live a pretty amazing planet here, Anna, no question about it.
It does. I'm in awe of it all the time, which is one of the great reasons to go to Alaska and Hawaii. There's so much natural beauty there. It's just amazing to take in. Back with Tom Skilling here, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom, you mentioned we're running much warmer this October. Lots of trends you're looking at there. What does that do for our first freeze? What are you looking at there?
Well, there's no question about it, Anna. It's pushed everything back. The arrival of cold weather. Normally, we get our first flakes of snow to fly around October 30th, 31st. That's the average first date. Now, I noticed one of the model runs overnight suggests that by November 1st, that's a couple weeks away yet, but we've got the potential of some flurries here nearby. But that's only one model run, and you look at a whole group of them, so we'll have to analyze that. But it's pushed back, no doubt. We know it has. The onset of fall colors in some areas, although they're coming out now and beautifully in many sections of the area. But other folks write me and say, hey, everything's still green and hasn't changed. So that's been delayed. The cooling of the lake has been delayed. That could have some ramifications when the cold air does arrive, because it'll go over warmer than average lake waters, and that it destabilizes the air more when the lake is warm. And that destabilization is what leads to lake effect snow. So that may have some implications down the road. One thing I'd caution, Anna, we've got a La Nina now officially declared out in the equatorial Pacific. This is a cooling of the waters along the equator from South America all the way out to the dateline, just shy of Australia and New Zealand. And when that happens, that changes jet streams in our part of the world, and it tends to lead to volatile winters. In other words, winters that are in certain stretches unseasonably mild. You have Pacific air coming in, kind of a westerly jet stream, and then that jet stream will buckle at times, and down comes the Arctic air, and you can get some really wild temperature changes in some El Nino winters. We did a study, and we found that 58% of the winters around here that have an La Nina running are themselves warmer than normal, even though there are big fluctuations over the course of the winter. Also, about 60% of those winters are wetter than average. Now, whether the wet takes the form of rain or it comes in crystalline form as snow will depend on the storm tracks that lay out and the temperature. But you've got two features of the winter coming up: volatility, tendency to finish when all is said and done with slightly above normal temperatures, and also the tendency in many La Nina winters to be above normal on precipitation, which wouldn't be all bad because we're really desperately dry. Whether all those things will actually occur remains to be seen because every La Nina is different. But those are some trends we've noticed. But in the meantime, this warmth means we're late with our frosts and probably with the arrival of snow flurries and everything else.
Yeah, I hear you. It does seem like I was looking at your weather blog, and on average, you said the season's first freeze occurs about October 3rd in the outlying areas, October 15th at O'Hare, October 27th at Midway, and then November 5th downtown in the city.
Think about it. Yesterday, Anna, we had lows of 45 at both the airports. Now, overnight, we went down to 52 at both the airports. But yesterday morning, we had a reading as low as 33 out in McHenry, and there were many 30-degree temperatures out in the suburbs through the Fox Valley, south to Kankakee and Rensselaer. As long as you got away from the heat of the city and the lake, it was a little chilly. And that's one thing about these beautiful autumn air masses of Pacific origin, which is what we're in right now. They're dry, and dry air masses tend to heat up nicely during the day, but they cool off precipitously at night when the winds are calm like they were the night before. Now, tonight we'll have a steady south wind, so that's going to hold the temperatures up in the 50s, and we'll go back to the 70s tomorrow, and that same system that's snowing a little bit out, snowing more than a little bit out in parts of the central Rockies. There may be snow near Mount Rushmore before this is all over. They're talking about 4 to 6 inches out there in the Black Hills of South Dakota. But by the time that system gets here, it'll be rain, and we could see a couple of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm late tomorrow, but more likely tomorrow night. And, you know, one other thing to note, we talk about this snow out in the Rockies. Part of the reason they get cold and see the snow first is because they're the elevation out there. The higher you go, the cooler it gets in the atmosphere. We're way, you know, Denver's up 5,280 feet above sea level. We in Chicago are about 600 feet above sea level. So we're not nearly as high. And that means they get colder out in the Rockies, and on the mountain peaks up there go over 13,000 feet in places. So that's why we see the snows out in the Yellowstones of Wyoming and the Rocky Mountain National Park, and before we get it here. It takes a while to get it down here to our elevation.
No doubt about it. Hey, Tom, I got to ask you about something because your name came up when we were discussing this. I know you were in Hawaii last week, but you saw that William Shatner went to space.
Yes.
Blue Origin mission, and he's 90, and it was exciting to see him, exciting to take in, his observations of looking back at our planet. Really, really, he was visibly moved. But when we asked on the show, we ran a little contest, and we asked who should go to space other than millionaires and billionaires who can currently afford most of the seats. Your name came up many times, and I thought, I got to ask Tom. Would Tom do it? Would you take a seat and go in Blue Origin or one of these space flights?
Oh, yeah, I definitely go. I'll tell you one thing, Anna. I'm more impressed when NASA and scientists go up there because I think they're doing something constructive. But on the other hand, I think if we all got a chance to get out there and look down at our planet and see where we live from that perspective, that would, I've often thought they should have sent a poet along with our astronauts, somebody who could use the English language to clearly describe the majesty of what they were seeing in a way that maybe engineers and scientists themselves can't do. And I would definitely go, but I also would be aware of the fact that there's a lot of motion sickness that goes on with that, and that would scare me a bit because If you're up there sick all the time, I'm not sure the experience would be quite as great. You know, for a long time, in the early space program, countries didn't want to admit that their astronauts were getting terribly ill. The Russians kind of hid it, and we kind of were quiet about it. And I'm sure they've come up with treatments for that now that are a lot better than when the program began. But when you get into that motionless environment, you tend to get seasickness, something equivalent to it. And that always, I thought, was a bit of a deterrent. But would I go? Oh, my God. I think any of us would go to see it. A lot of
I'd
us
go.
Would.
For sure. I know Shatner was in Rosemont over the weekend, and he was explaining the whole experience, and he was saying, so here's what I've been doing, okay? I went up there, I came back down. That's how it went. But he said there are no words in the English language, not in his entire experience, to tell you what weightlessness feels like and also what looking back, the awe you get looking back at the planet, you know? It's amazing.
You know, Anna, the thing that struck me when I watched him talking about it, and he choked up and became very emotional, it occurred to me, it was kind of my response when I saw the solar eclipse down in Carbondale.
I remember,
You know what, I'll tell you, you don't expect to react that way. I was embarrassed by that. I thought, gosh, I've lost it on live television, and I just didn't expect to do that. And there's just something about that moment when you... the sky goes from blue to black and all, that you realize what a tiny speck in this whole thing all of us are.
Right.
You know, we're so insignificant when you look at the broadness and the majesty of this universe that we're all a tiny, tiny, tiny part of. And it does something to you emotionally that's hard to explain unless you've been there. So I identified with him. I thought, isn't that interesting? Because that's a guy who's normally totally in control of his emotions, and yet to see him get up, you know, emotionally affected by the experience was a testament to how incredible it must have been.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And when I remember seeing you with the eclipse too, it was just such a beautiful moment, just taken by what was happening in the world and nature. And it's so cool. Hey, Tom, we got to run. But you said the thunderstorms may be late tomorrow. Is there anything significant we need to worry about?
You know what? There may be a few showers of thunderstorms. No, I don't think there's going to be a mammoth severe weather outbreak. It looks like coverage on the rain tomorrow during the day, 35% of the area. It goes up to 47% tomorrow night. And then there may be a lingering sprinkle on Thursday as we start this cool down, with which we'll exist through the rest of the week and into the weekend. And it rains again later Saturday night, Sunday, Monday. That looks like the more significant rain. Okay. But we're talking about falling from the 70s today and tomorrow into the 50s by the time we get to Thursday afternoon, Friday, and Saturday. So it'll be cooler, but that's only very slightly below where we ought to be this time of the year. And overall, the pattern continues warmer than average for the time of the year, Anna.
Sounds good, Tom. Welcome back. Good talking with you, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Yeah, well, look forward to it, Anna. You take care.
YouTube, Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. That's going to do it for us today. That's Steve Bertrand's picking things up after the top of the hour news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Have a good one. We'll talk again tomorrow.